This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Tonight, the Bethel City Council will hold a special meeting to decide how to fill the soon-to-be-open city manager position. Current city manager Vincenzo Vinicarazza resigned last week after the council criticized his performance. The council will discuss appointing a temporary replacement for Carrazza and the process for picking a permanent city manager. And that's not all. Also to be discussed at the special meeting is forming a team of attorneys and accountants to investigate three management issues in the city: employee complaints of improper conduct by supervisors, financial operations, and the management of CARES Act funds. In April, the city's finance director quit, citing a, quote, chaotic and unprofessional environment, unquote. The department has seen a year of rampant turnover. Carrazza named the city's grant director as acting finance director, a decision that was criticized by council members. Also, a few weeks ago, Carrazza told the council he was using Microsoft Excel to track how the city's $8 million in CARES Act funds were spent, and council members said they were concerned about the security of that system. Tune into Bethel City Council special meeting tonight, broadcast live at 6 p.m. on 90.3 FM. We are broadcasting the Republican National Convention at the same time on our AM station. Also on Bethel City Council news, last night the City Council postponed voting on a tax of sugary beverages until December. Councilmember Hugh Dement made the motion, saying residents should have time to weigh the pros and cons of the tax, which would be used to fund recreation resources for the city. Also by December, the city will have a better idea of how much revenue the online sales tax brings in. That tax becomes effective September 1st. The sugary beverage tax proved to be a provocative issue. 7 Bethel residents spoke on it, 3 in favor and 4 against. Councilmember Michelle DeWitt, who introduced the tax, is a member of the committee that oversees the pool at the fitness center. She says the center runs a yearly deficit of $130,000. She said the revenue from the sugary beverage tax would also allow the city to look at building an indoor basketball gym and expanding the boardwalks and trails in town. Plus, DeWitt argued, the tax would only affect one expenditure.
Something that people could more easily avoid if they don't want to purchase those items, opposed to like a blanket sales tax.
But residents who called into the meeting say the tax would disproportionately target lower income households. A study published through Urban Bookings Tax Policy Center says lower income adults consumed 40% more sugary drinks than higher income adults. While Councilmember Hugh Dement agreed the city should work on creating new recreational facilities, he had a problem with the tax that requires lower-income families to pay more than their fair share.
What we're doing here is asking a small set of people to bear the cost of a common good.
The council will revisit the sugary beverage tax in December, but Dement won't be a member then. He chose not to run for re-election. Mayor Perry Barr and Councilmember Michelle DeWitt are running for re-election, along with newcomer Rose Sugar Henderson. Plus, there is one more write-in candidate, Conrad C.J. McCormick. McCormick didn't get his paperwork in time to get his name on the ballot. The City Council also took some steps to bolster its response to the COVID-19 pandemic last night, hiring former Councilmember Leif Albertson to be the City Emergency Operations Director, citing his expertise in public health. Albertson will head the Emergency Operations Center and be paid $85 an hour, according to the city's CARES budget. Albertson says he could normally just work 10 hours a week because of his job at the University of Alaska, but he could ramp up those hours in the case of emergency. The council also voted unanimously to hold all public meetings virtually going forward. That includes committee meetings. Vice Mayor Haley Hansen introduced the change.
We've heard a lot over the weeks and months about the city not doing enough when it comes to COVID and protecting people and mandates and that. And I just thought this was a good time to, a good example of walking the walk and not just talking the talk.
Council members can be reimbursed $10 per meeting to pay for internet costs. The council also directed $500,000 to the Bethel Community Services Foundation for Nonprofits. City Clerk Lori Strickler says the majority of that money would go to the Tundra Women's Coalition. Executive Director Eileen Arnold explained that TWC has a program to distribute financial aid to individuals to help pay bills in case they were laid off or furloughed because of the pandemic. And in the latest round of funding from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, 5 federally recognized tribes have received roughly $3.3 million in grants intended to offset effects of COVID-19. Among those tribes are the Rutchakhin Native Council and Bethel. Colleen Bickford is the state director for Alaska's HUD department. She says this funding is the fifth batch of grants to come from the Indian Community Development Block Program.
A piece of that is called imminent threat funding. So this is funding to help address problems that pose an imminent threat to public health or safety of tribal residents.
ONC is using the $900,000 grant to purchase and renovate three homes to help with the housing shortage. Bickford, with the state HUD department, says that many tribes across the state have had routine issues with things like housing and food security, and she says HUD has noticed tribes take a more proactive approach to using CARES Act funding.
What we've seen a lot of Alaska tribes trying to address that issue, which is just exacerbated by the pandemic. So that's what we mean by just taking a longer view of how to address those challenges and help make their communities healthier over the long run.
Prior batches of funding from the HUD department's ICDBG funds have totaled roughly $27 million, according to HUD. And the coronavirus pandemic has pushed another big event in Bethel to the virtual space. The Association of Village Council Presidents plans to hold its annual convention online starting on Wednesday, September 23rd. Former Lieutenant Governor and current President of Alaska Pacific University, Valerie Davidson, will give the keynote speech. Delegates from the 56 tribes that AVCP represents will vote on resolutions, and any resolutions that pass will then be sent to the Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention in October, which will also be virtual this year. And in fish news, the Yukon River's fall chum salmon run is shaping up to be the lowest one on record. The projected abundance is below what is needed to meet either the drainage-wide escapement tributary or Canada treaty goals. The State Fish and Game Department has stopped all fishing for chum salmon on the Yukon River. That means there is no subsistence, commercial sport, or personal use fishing for fall chum salmon in the Yukon or its tributaries. Subsistence fishing targeting whitefish and pike can still take place with 4-inch or smaller mesh gill nets. Fishermen on the lower Yukon, downriver of Nulato, can use hook and line to target fish other than fall chum. The coho, or silver salmon, also seem to be running late and in weaker numbers this year. The average silver run size on the Yukon is more than 200,000. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.